Is this Barstool?
BarstoolSports.com. Is that right? BarstoolSports.com.
It's your boy KFC.
Become kind of a craze. Become kind of a craze.
Your boy Big Cat.
Kind of a craze. Kind of a craze.
And your boy Feidelberg.
So go to BarstoolSports.com. If you do, God bless you.
You listen to KFC Radio.
KFC Radio episode 154. I got a tweet today from my man Dominic Veruza. He's on Twitter at Dom Veruza. He said, shout out to SeatGeek. I bought Springsteen tickets outside MSG at $7.50 last night. I was inside MSG 15 minutes later. So the proof is in the pudding right there from a KFC Radio listener. SeatGeek is the fastest and easiest way to get tickets. You got a lot going on right now. Big football game coming up. We got NBA in action, baseball later this season. You got Springsteen, you got Adele, you got all sorts of big events that you want to get tickets to. So you should use SeatGeek to get them. Use the promo code KFC in the SeatGeek app to get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. It takes less than a minute to download the app. All it takes is a couple clicks, and you open up the app, you open up your event, and it has all the seats color-coded. So green means it's a good buy. It's cheaper than usual. Yellow means like right around normal. Red means they're overpriced. So you can just take one look and see exactly what you're looking at. So download the free SeatGeek app today. Enter the promo code KFC in the app. And then SeatGeek will send you $20 once you made your first purchase. Just straight up cash right back to you. So if you're going to buy tickets to any sporting event, you might as well do it through SeatGeek. And everything purchased through SeatGeek is backed by a 100% guarantee. So you don't have to get you don't have to be worried about getting a fake or a duplicate or whatever else. So download the free SeatGeek app and use the promo code KFC today. We got Chris Spags filling in for Big Cat, who is addicted to driving an RV. I mean, at this point, like let's just call it what it is. The dude just loves mobile home trailers to the point that there's really no reason for anybody to be going to the Super Bowl, but there's certainly no reason for Dan to hop on in Chicago and drive it across the goddamn country. But it's Big Rig Big Cat, so we got Chris Spags filling in.
Hey, he's like a big Midwestern guy at heart. He's just like a truck driving Midwesterner, like really in a big way.
Yeah, I mean the Patagonia literally hat, and figuratively. You know, smoke some cigs, hop behind the wheel, and just do his thing. It's, you know, it really is that Midwest life. It's not for me. I don't understand it, but God bless him.
Dude, the thing about an RV and the sweet part of an RV is it has TVs and you can drink beer. Like, why would you choose to be behind
driving?
The wheel? I'd jump. Like, if I was in Chicago, I would jump in that, and I'd be like, "Okay, you guys start driving. I'm gonna start drinking for the next fucking week. That I'm in San Francisco, I'm gonna the whole time and take the wheel. Thanks for the ride."
Yeah, I mean, when I went for the NLCS, they were like, "Yo, KFC, like, you want to drive?" I was like, "No, man. First of all, like, I don't want the responsibility of driving this goddamn like skyscraper down the road." And second of all, no, like I'm hungover, I'm tired. I'd rather just like chill out. I don't need to be behind the wheel. But
I used to have the worst panic attacks, like driving the blackout trailer.
Yeah,
because I'm like having some acid reflux.
Before you go on, I was just on Daily Mail talking about it. Shay has acid reflux. It's a disaster.
Ah.
Disaster, bro. I mean, I've had it myself. Look at you. You're a grown man. You're crippled right now. You can barely function. I feel so bad for her.
That's horrible.
But yeah.
I had an ex with acid reflux, and she threw up on a guy once when he gave her a piggyback ride. Cause she, like, I guess if it's not treated, you're drinking, like it just all builds up and it just spews out like a geyser.
I got
sexy.
It pretty good.
Sexy stuff.
John, you're falling apart at the seams. You got acid reflux. Spags, you haven't heard this yet because we just recorded the rundown. When John jerks off, when he comes, he gets like sharp pains in his knee that don't go away. And I was like, oh, you mean like a Charlie horse? Like, because sometimes your muscle tightens up. It's like his knee and it doesn't go away.
And it runs up.
Maybe that's like an STD that traveled down. Just parked its way. Like, it was like, oh, it's warmer down here. It's like a bird flying south for the winter.
It's like the second my muscles tighten up when I come, I fucking, like, just collapse into, like, this, like, crippled, cummy mess. 'Cause it's
God.
It's like
is it by yourself and with people, or is it just like one of the two?
This is a recent injury. This is like a week old, so it hasn't. We got about another year before it happens with a person.
Yeah, I mean, listen, nobody. Actually, Spags, you were attempting to get in shape, I believe, last time we talked. Or were in shape? Are you still on the train? Or what?
Yeah, I'm doing it again. Well, because we're gonna do the office thing, and I feel like we're going in there, and there's gonna be like cameras and shit, and I don't want to be like a fucking slob. Like I don't know. Like I felt like I want to look good for this. I know Dude, fights might disagree, but like I think going in there, you want to be the best version you have.
I start February.
So anyway, it's like I'm doing it again.
Fights.
I feel like we're delayed a little here.
Yeah, we got a little. Hopefully, the office comes sooner than later, so we don't have to worry about this. But what were you going to say, Fights?
I was just saying that I start Monday. I start my diet and exercise regimen.
I've started the past like 4 Mondays. I've been drinking fucking seltzer, dude. You know how gross seltzer is? Seltzer's disgusting. But I need to do something to kick my soda habit because I just guzzled Coke like a fucking child. So I'm drinking this dirty, bubbly water.
I fucking hate people like that. Like when CC Sabathia was like, oh yeah, I lost a bunch of weight. I just stopped eating Cap'n Crunch or whatever the fuck he ate. Like, that you shouldn't be able to lose that much weight just by knocking one thing out of your fucking diet.
When you drink a lot of fucking soda, John, it can happen, man.
Why not Diet Coke?
I don't like the diet flavor of anything. That, like, extra diet. But I don't like the flavor of this shit either. I don't know, man. It's not.
I like diet way more than regular Coke. It's like with Dave and the Cheez-Its. Like, I like that better. Like, I don't like the full acid sugar thing.
I know a lot of people, but give me all that. They all agree with you. Give me all the sugar. Load it up. I want that, like, thick paste. That's what I'm talking about when I drink my soda. But, yeah, I agree with you, man. I when I saw myself fat as shit on the rundown, I was like, I can't have this if we're going to be in the office. If I'm going to be on camera all the time from, like, the shoulders down, I'm gonna have to do something because it was a gruesome sight the other day. I'm feeling good about shoulders up. Everyone's running their mouth about my hair. Fuck you guys. My hair looks great. Fuck all y'all.
I think it just looks shinier sometimes than others.
Whatever.
So it looks like you're doing like a wet look, like 80s stockbroker thing.
Whatever. Shine is good, man. Give me all the shine. Give me all the volume. Fuck anybody hating on my hair. Let's get into these voicemails. We begin with – this was one left over from last week.
KFC, it's Clemmy. I got a question. My buddy started dating this new chick, and we all met her. She's really hot. She's cute. She's awesome. She's a really down chick. And we're like, where do we know this chick from? Turns out she's a stripper at Rick's in Manhattan. Now, that's like our home base strip club. Whenever we have a guys' night out, you know, that's the place we usually, you know, end up if we're going to the club. Now, what's the protocol here? Do we still go to that strip club? Do we tell her that we go there? What's going on? Let me know.
All right, dude has a buddy whose girlfriend is a stripper at Rick's Cabaret. For those of you who don't know Manhattan, or I don't know if Rick's Cabaret is in other cities, but I would say, Spags, if you agree with me, Rick's Cabaret is kind of a little bit of a classier strip club. It's not as hardcore per se as some other spots.
Yeah, I think New York in general has pretty classy ones where they're not getting too gross. But Rick's is definitely nice. They try to make it nice. Like a lot of the athletes go there. I know one of the publicists. I remember they used to like cover for like the Knicks all the time because they would go there like every day.
Exactly. Rick's is always the one releasing, like doing press releases, like free lap dances for life if J.R. Smith stays with the Knicks and shit like that. So they're a little bit like the cut above. Now, I think – actually, the three of us, I think, talked about dating a sex worker before. But this is a whole new angle. Now, this is your friend dating a sex worker and at your, like, home turf strip club. So, I mean, you and the buddies go out. You head in there. Well, first of all, just the notion of, like, your buddy is dating – full-blown dating a stripper. But now you and your buddies head out. You go to the strip club and there's your buddy's girl up on the pole working for money. How do you handle it? Fights, you've had a few strip club stories throughout your KFC radio lifetime, including the one where you walked in and your high school friend was on the pole, right?
Elementary school.
Elementary school. Well, either way, you walked in and you knew the chick on the pole. What do you do now that it's your buddy's girlfriend who's that chick?
I guess. I mean, you can't. You want to go, but you can't go. Like, you just have. You go?
Well, here's the thing. I probably, yeah, because I'd be like, fuck you, man. You can't, like, ruin our strip club. Like, that's our and now all of a sudden I have to change up our social life because you decided to be an idiot and date a stripper?
I guess you can't, and actually, you can definitely go. And she better give you free shit, or else fuck her.
Right.
And, but you can't get a lap dance on her.
No, I agree with that. But if she's up on the pole, if she's on the stage, you know, that's – when you decide to date a stripper, you know, like, the consequences that come along with it. One of those consequences being people are going to see her strip. So,
yeah,
you know.
I've come around here. Like, you go to – like, when your buddy's dating a bartender or some shit like that, or a waitress, you go to that spot all the time because she hooks you up.
Yes.
So you go to Rick's. You keep going to Rick's. Maybe don't, like, sit front row when she's on the stage. Like, maybe go grab a drink at the bar. And definitely don't get a lap dance on her. But, like, she better have her, like she better have, like, the queen bitch at Rick's giving you, like, free lap dances. She better be getting you free drinks or else you gotta tell your boy's girlfriend sucks.
Yeah. I mean, that would be the thing. It's like, yo, dude, I don't care that you're dating a stripper. I care that you're dating a stripper who sucks and can't hook us up at her own club. That's what's lame. Spags, what do? Your buddy's dating the stripper at Rick's.
I mean, so, like, when I went out with the stripper, which we talked about on one of the episodes before, but, like, I dated a stripper briefly who I met there, and my friend and I started talking to her because my friend got a lap dance from her, like, the second before I started talking to her. So, like, to me, like, he was just like, she's great, and then we talked, and that was, like, a little weird for, like, a second, but once you get past the initial thing, this is her job. Like, a lot of people are seeing her naked, so you kind of just gotta make peace with that if you're going to be, like, a stripper dating guy. Like as a hobby.
Do you
did
you go to the club and watch her?
I mean, not after that, no. Like, I actually didn't go to a strip club for like 4 years because, like, what else can you do at a strip club if you, like, meet a stripper and date a stripper? Like, I'd know where to go but down from there,
right? But so, like, while you were dating her when she was like, all right, I gotta go to work, would you ever, like, go to the club?
No, the only thing that we would do, like, is after work, sometimes she would come over, and this is going to sound like she was, like, having the most disgusting sex, but I swear it's not the case again, but, like, she would, like, come back and, like, shower the second she would come over after work, because she felt disgusting and, like, needed to, like, psychologically disconnect between the two personalities of Bianca the stripper and whatever Russian girl name she has in real life.
Right. Well, yeah, Chris, I think that's mental. I also think that is pretty physical to watch all that shit off you. I think when you take a shower, it's a little bit of both. I mean, maybe you kind of coordinate, be like, yo, text your girl. Is she going to be at the club tonight? She is. All right, we'll go to Flash Dancers instead. But, you know, like I said, you're a stripper. You know what you're getting into. You're dating a stripper. You know what you're getting into. I don't think that the rest of the crew should have to tailor their lives around that.
Also, I want to say, if your crew has, like, a home strip club, that's probably not a good thing. Like, I have a home bar. I don't have a home strip club. Well, in Boston I do, because there's only one option. But I don't think you should have a home strip club. I think you should be like, what's the closest strip club? Okay, let's go to that one.
Counterpoint to that, when we were in, like, our strip club phase, it was always Flash Dancers. I don't really know why. Gosh. It's not like nothing against the other ones, but
that was my one. Great club.
It's just was better. The Eastern European chicks were hotter and more desperate, and it was just like home. When we walked in, it was just like home. So I kind of feel like it's almost the same thing as going to a bar, where it's like you want to get buybacks, you want to know the bouncers, you want to get in. You know, it's like you're gonna go often. You might as well get the credit for it. That's kind of how I, you know, frequent flyer miles type of thing, rewards points. That's
fair. Good counterpoint.
All right. The rest of these voicemails, I have not listened to at all. We're flying without radar here. So let's start it off with Man vs. Bear.
Hey, KFC. This is Henry from University of Illinois. So this is a question that me and my buddies sometimes toss around. So if you have a grizzly bear or what have you, how many grown men would it take to kill that grizzly bear using only their bare hands? So no weapons. Grown men, how many would you think it would take to completely kill a full-grown grizzly bear Let me know what you think.
All right, so fighting grizzly bears is kind of hot in the streets. Everyone's been talking about it with Leo and the Revenant. What happens in that scene? Does he kill the bear? I mean, obviously he doesn't die. Does he like end up shooting the bear?
I haven't seen it.
I don't remember. No spoilers, I think the bear please. Runs away. I think he just like plays dead until the bear leaves.
So whatever. First of all, it sounds to me like people don't really like the Revenant. Not that it's like bad, but everybody who's seen it to me is like, it was all right. It's kind of overhyped. Like it's the same thing about Leo's performance too. So everyone's all like, oh, Leo's gonna have to win it this year. I don't know if he's gonna. It doesn't sound like the early like indications from people who saw it are that he's like a lock. I was watching Blood Diamond last night. He should have fucking won it for that. He was awesome in that. The accent and like the whole fucking diamond. He was from South Africa or whatever in my mind. That was unbelievable. All right, so this is kind of an old school KFC radio question. I think it would take like 1,000 people to kill a grizzly bear. Like it would take an unlimited amount of people with no weapons. What are you going to just like beat up the bear, like punch it to death? I think like one grizzly bear could kill like the whole human race in my mind. So I can't even begin to answer this question. Anybody else have any insight to it?
I'm with you. Like bare-handed? Like does bare-handed mean can you pick up a stick in the woods?
I guess, yeah. If you could, like, smash it with a rock.
Or just a bare-knuckle brawl in a boxing ring.
That's the way I'm envisioning it. Isn't there, like, a little cartoon on the internet of, like, a guy fucking boxing a bear? I mean, if that's the case, the bear kills everybody who walks in the ring, period.
I mean, the way you do it is, like, it's like The Matrix where they all tackle Neo. All the agents and tackle him is what the only way you could get that bear. And either you suffocate the bear, maybe. So that's, like, 500 people. Like, 500 fat guys can suffocate a bear.
I can get down with that. I'll run with that as the answer.
I don't. I will not. I will not run with that. I will say that it's false, and that bear, like, you can't get them all on him at the same time. Like four dudes can at least bring another guy to the ground, and then the pig pile starts. No amount of guys can just bring a bear to the ground.
Yeah, I agree. And
what if they were like former cheerleader fat guys?
I don't care.
I mean, this is like a hypothetical scenario where we're wrestling a bear. I can have like cheerleader fat guys doing a pyramid, pinning the bear and killing it.
Sure. If those are the guys, if you want cheerleader fat guys to be the kind of guys who die, fine. You can have cheerleader fat guys. It doesn't matter what kind of guy you choose. They're dying.
That's fine. They're sacrificing themselves for this cause.
They're all dying, and the bear just keeps...
But they're all dying, and the bear is not dying.
Well, yeah, whoever's in the immediate claw area.
Endless, like... Fat cheerleader guys come and they all die and they just like pile up because the bear kills all of them.
Yeah, that's it. You basically have like a couple waves. It's like in an army where like they would like sacrifice the first lines. That those first lines of fat cheerleader guys are dying no matter what.
But all of the next line and the next line, they all die. All the lines die.
Well, yeah, I mean, the method with those first lines is they at least wound the other army. No one's wounding the bear. You can't wound a bear. Not with your bare hands, you can't.
Right. The bear wins. The bear kills the entire human race. 4 billion dudes run at him, and he kills all of them with his paws.
Yeah.
Yeah. At a certain point, he'd just eat everyone and be full and die.
He got to sleep eventually. Bear goes to sleep.
I mean, he's not... Don't, what, are you going to force feed him dead bodies? Like, he'll just stop eating when he's full. He's not like... He doesn't just convulse. Possibly keep eating. He's a bear. He's like, all right, that's enough human flesh for me. I'm going to kill some more people and save some for later.
How many humans can kill a dumb fucking bear that keeps eating? Never mind. Next topic. This is called Twitter beef.
What's up, guys? Yeah. So in light of yesterday's event with Kanye and with Khalifa having some sort of ridiculous, drawn-out Twitter rant, Twitter beef, got me thinking, what kind of rappers or even athletes back in the day that didn't have access to social media, would you like to see just go on weird, long-winded rants or have beef? So not just like Tupac and Biggie beef, but even guys like Rodman or even like Ice Cube, Jay-Z, anyone from sport, even Detroit Bad Boys, all those guys, who would you like to see go on weird, eccentric Twitter rants or have Twitter beef?
Any old-school... hip-hop artists, music artists, NBA players, athletes, who would you want to be on Twitter to go on these type of Twitter rants and Twitter beef? It's funny because, like, Twitter is just like the way of life now. So it's just funny to think that, like, if you could bring Tupac back from the dead and be like, yo, you have to, like, talk shit to people on Twitter, he'd be like, the fuck is this? This is stupid. But all the rappers, everybody does it now.
Yeah, so. I hate that line of thinking, though. Like, that's just, like every time, like, something like this happens, like a Twitter beef, it always ends with, like, Pac and Biggie shot each other. Yeah, no fucking shit. And if, like,
I don't mean that,
Western singers from the Wild West would think they were pussies for shooting each other in a drive-by. Like, oh, we used to do it in fucking shootouts.
No, I know. That's annoying. But I'm just thinking more of, like, there is so much of that thought, and I also hate this line of thinking, when everyone's like, Twitter is for chicks and fucking black people and that's it. Like, Twitter is just, like, the internet now in my mind. Like, I don't even Google things, I just search them on Twitter. I talk to people on Twitter. It's just the internet. So when you say that you're, like, too cool or too macho for Twitter, I don't understand that. But the facts remain that that would be, if you told Dennis Rodman from the 80s Pistons, like, you gotta, like, tweet your thoughts out to the world, he'd be like, fuck that. But if those guys, once you get into the mix,
I feel like Rodman would love it.
Yeah, well, that's the other side. It's like, some people would be like, fuck this, or they'd be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna air everybody out right now. Rodman is a good choice. All the rappers are a good choice as well. Who else you got for,
The best rapper would be NWA, because they actually had shit happen. And then they were, like, just saying outrageous shit. Like, them, Public Enemy, like, those would be the guys you'd get the best. As a blogger, you get the best content from them in the early 90s and in the late 80s.
Right.
So I think, like, for them, that's who I look for.
Fights, who you got?
Who would I want on Twitter? I want, like, Winston Churchill on Twitter. He's got some funny-ass fucking lines, and he was always drunk and shit. I love drunk tweeting. I always think it's so funny when you're like, oh, that person's clearly drunk. Like, any tweet I send on a Saturday, like oh, it's just like, Fights doesn't remember sending that. I don't know. I think world leaders in, like, the time when, like, world leaders used to just, like, outright, like, everyone, like, plays the political game now. But, like, when it used to be, like, fuck Hitler. Like,
yeah.
And they were just all, like tweeting at people, I feel like that would be awesome.
Well, that's, I mean, my answer is not really necessarily people from the past. It's people who are on Twitter now that I just want to be honest. Like, Bill Clinton's on Twitter. But Bill Clinton is not really on Twitter. I want, like, Slick Willie. I need him to have, like, a second account at Slick Willie. I want, like, Kobe. Kobe's perfect. Like, Kobe is, like, on Twitter and joined the social media shit, but he's not his real persona on Twitter. That dude, if we could get real Kobe, he'd be airing people out left and right.
Kobe's not too bad on Twitter. He's like, he definitely
goes in a little bit.
He gets in the mix, but you know, I mean, he's fucking angry 99% of the day at somebody. It would be every single day occurrence if Kobe was, like, tweeting his unfiltered thoughts. I need unfiltered Derek Jeter to join Twitter. I need maybe Jeter to just join it in general, even if he's kind of like a pussy, like an actual personal Derek Jeter account. But if that dude was being honest, I mean, there's so many people who are on it now who don't really use it to its full potential. So that would probably be my answer. But that's maybe I'll blog that. That's a good you got to think that one through and really flesh that out. Because, I mean,
I know people get pissed off when this happens, but, like, I got to do a blog because Weidman just got suspended indefinitely.
Oh, yeah?
Well, that was weird. That whole situation was weird. Like, I don't care at all about hockey, but, like, I didn't get, like, how that could have been anything but him hitting the ref. Like, I don't get that.
We were talking about on the run.
There's even a controversy ever.
The excuses made no sense. The fact that anybody was buying into them is a total joke. And, John, is this dude any good?
No.
So, I mean, that kind of plays into it, too. If this is, like, a superstar.
I mean, he's an assistant captain on the Flames, but, I mean, he used to play for the Bruins. He was terrible.
All right. Well, I'm happy with that. I think that guy's a fucking scumbag, so whatever.
He's not, though. That's, like, the one thing I do get the defense. Like, he doesn't have a Matt Cook, I mean, even a Marchand-type reputation. Like, he's never really – his character's never really been in question. But, like, looking at that, it's hard. I mean, how can you not?
Right. All right, write your blog. Spags, you seem like the type of dude who might rattle the pots and pans a little bit, start cooking in the kitchen. Am I wrong or right?
I like to dabble on occasion, Kevin.
I could see you doing that. But not like, not too much, not all the time. Maybe just like 2 to 3 times a week where you don't have to go to the grocery store and pick everything out. You don't really, you're not an expert spags to the point that you have everything in your cabinet all the time. What you really need is a system, is a service perhaps, that just sends you boxes of pre-made, pre-organized ingredients for your meals where you can cook a couple nights a week, but not every single week. Is that what you need?
I think that sounds great, but does something like that exist?
Actually, it does. Plated.com is the easiest way to ease into the world of cooking. I'm being serious now because it really is not an easy transition to make because you're so used to just like grabbing a slice of pizza, making a sandwich, ordering Chinese, getting on Seamless, whatever you want. Eventually, that's got to stop because you spend way too much fucking money. And you don't ever actually become like a real human to the point that, like right now, I got a kid, right? And I don't have to cook for her yet. She's just drinking milk. But I remember like my mom and dad making me food every night. If they were just ordering me takeout all the time, I think it would have kind of been a little fucking weird. So I'm trying to get on that train, trying to become a normal human. And that's what Plated.com will do for you. They give you step-by-step recipe cards. All the ingredients come in like little baggies. You don't have to worry about how much of each thing to put in there. You just put it all in. You cook it all up. And you get yourself nice, inexpensive, relatively healthy meals 2 to 3 times a week, and you kind of become a normal human. So go to plated.com/KFC now, and you will get a free dinner for two with your first delivery. That's plated.com/KFC. Terms and details apply, and you could have chef-quality dinners at your home in a few simple steps.
I actually went to the high school with the CEO of Plated.
Well, he's doing pretty good for himself.
Yeah, I know. He's paying us now, so now he's good. But for a while there, I was like, this motherfucker in a successful startup, that's going to be... But now we're getting like a little money, so it's okay.
God.
But in the back of my... Still kind of.
Why can't we just invent shit like that? I'm trying to figure out... Raising this kid is so fucking hard that there has to be like some invention that I can come up with to make it easier. And I want to do that and become a billionaire and say, fuck all you guys, I'm out.
How about a migrant worker of some sort? Like a minority to hire.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. Let's reinvent slavery. I'm inventing that. Yeah. I'll tell you what. I got this device here in the where I put all the diapers. It's incredible. Whoever invented that, they should have $1 billion. You just put all the diapers.
Is that the diaper genie thing?
Yeah, and you can pull the bag out of the bottom so you never have to, like, smell it. It's incredible. It's the best invention that's ever happened. If I wish I came up with the diaper genie. how about dating a girl with your name?
What's up, guys? This is Chris from Providence. I got a question. What's your take on dating a girl with the same name as you? So, hypothetically,
we understand it's really not that hard of a concept to grasp. We've talked about this before. I think we've talked about sleeping with them versus dating them. Spags, I don't know if you've ever been on for the question. Could you, I mean, and you could run into the situation with a Christine or a Kristen or whatever. A girl who goes by Chris. I don't know if there's any girls out there who go by Spags, but would you date a girl named Chris?
If there were a girl who went by Spags, she'd be fucking big and beefy and Italian and be like a problem drinker. But I think like, yeah, a Chris, I don't know. It would be weird because then your couple name would be like, oh, Chris and Chris are coming and you sound like a gay couple even though you're not. So I think that would be weird. I can't date exes who have the same name. I think that's weirder to me because I don't want to go back and have to be like, oh, Jenna, and then you like think about your other Jenna, and like that's weird. Same name though, like.
So wait,
it's
wait.
Weird.
If you ran into a Jenna right now that you hit it off with, you would like it would play into your will I date you?
Like whenever I'm on the apps, like my most recent ex's name was Courtney. So whenever I see a Courtney, if I'm on an app, I swipe left. I don't want to even deal with a Courtney.
Even if she's like super hot, it looks like everything else is going to click. You'll just avoid.
She'd have to be like a real good Courtney. She'd have to be a strong Courtney.
Wow, that is some spite. That is some hate right there.
No, it's not even that. It's just like I did it. It's like weird. It's like just dredging things up. I'm in the same apartment. Like there's a lot of shit that'd be real strange if I dated a Courtney.
I think I totally disagree with that, but, you know, to each their own. What's weird is, like, you actually could run into that situation with your first name, though. Like,
yeah.
If I was dating a chick named Kevin, people would be like, what the fuck is going on? If John is dating a chick named John.
It's never happened, though. And, I've certainly tried, and I don't think there have been a single one where it's, like, actually materialized.
You know,
like a Christine or Christina.
Maybe she's, like, fuck that. I don't want to date a dude with the same name as me. Maybe there's an alternate female KFC radio going on right now where they're asking the same question, and those chicks are like, hell no, we're not dating a dude with the same name. Maybe even subconsciously, both of you are like, this isn't going to work out. Even if you were into it, maybe the human mind is just like, nah, I'm not going to date you. You got my name.
I would like to hear that girl KFC radio, though. Like, I would be curious to what that would sound like.
Hey, man.
Probably not good.
Hey, we are, you know, the Churning Group has purchased us. We are trying to expand and bring in the best talent out there. If there is two or three chicks who think they got what it takes to do the female KFC radio, it's an open call. I don't even know if – here's a question for you. If there was a female KFC radio, because we do have enough female listeners – and I do think that they are interested in listening because you get the unfiltered, honest opinions and answers from guys. Would you want that? Would you listen to a female KFC radio for the same reason? Because I don't think I want to know half that shit. I think ignorance is bliss.
I think I'd want to know, but they'd have to be like funny enough to make it interesting. Because I just don't want to know the information. I want it to be like packaged in a way. Like this is – the show we do is good.
Right. This is, I don't know if a
show like that
– highbrow.
Yeah, like – like Cosmo Radio, I don't know if you're, well, I know you're a Sirius guy maybe one of these days, but like with Cosmo Radio on Sirius, I think I've had that on in the background like once, and it was just like,
right,
like for an hour, and that was not good.
I like the filtered version of girls. I don't need three chicks sitting around being like, so hypothetically speaking, if you got to take a shit at a guy's house, like what do you do? Like I don't need that answer. So I don't care how funny they are. I think some things need to be left behind the curtain, and all the.
It would definitely be like three Amy Schumer types too, like three Amy Schumers or Lena Dunhams. Like it would not be like the type of girl who you'd want to hear anything from.
Dude, Amy Schumer, her last stand up at the Apollo, she was like, I don't know why, but like they labeled me as a sex comic, a sex comedian. Like I don't get it. And then like in the next breath, she talked about a snail trail of cum leaking out of her vagina. I was like, yo, that's fucking why. Give me a break. You know exactly what you're doing. Drop that fucking, I'm just like any other comedian act. Like, no, you're a chick talking about cum leaking out of you. Come on. You know exactly what's going on here.
And all the comedians that she went up with, too. The whole thing with her stealing jokes is weird because it's literally everybody she ever worked with. She has some form of a joke that, like, they made before. Like, there's, like, a lot of videos that they're putting out there now.
Yeah, I mean, the first round... which was basically Patrice O'Neill, where he was talking about, like, the Dirty Sanchez and the Abraham Lincoln.
Right.
I mean, those are just, like, things that are out there in the world. It was a little weird that she said, like, the same ones. But, like, Patrice O'Neill didn't invent that either. But now these other ones, it's just, like, almost word for word, punchline for punchline, right?
Yeah. It's a bad look.
And, I mean, part of me is like, hey, snake it till you make it. She has to know that's eventually going to happen. Like, it's 2016. Everyone's on YouTube. Everyone's out there. Do you think she was just like, fuck it, I'm going to do this and get rich and then like let the chips fall where they may? Or do you think she was really stupid enough that she thought she was going to get away with it?
I think it's probably
you have to be
where like a joke went into her brain.
Go ahead, Fights.
I think there's a couple cases where a joke went into her head. Just couldn't do it.
Sorry.
How about both of you guys talking at the exact same time? How about? Go for it. No.
Why? But are we delayed or did that just happen twice in a row? I think we're a little delayed.
I think it's whenever I talk to you, there's like a delay. Kevin and I are fine, and I think you and Kevin are fine. It's that love triangle thing that just, it all falls apart.
It's like it's like Jerry being the connection between George and Elaine. It's like you guys can't have your own conversation. It's got to flow through me. Let's talk about Jay Williams. Dude, poor dude couldn't get a boner for over a year.
Fancy Fights, Big Cat. What's up, boys? Matt from Boston calling. So my question is about this whole Jay Williams fucking not working situation, which I think is a lie anyway, but that's either here or there. So I guess my question is, 13 months, you can't get a boner, and then finally one day you instantly get hard. What's the play there? Would you rather jack off or go and fuck some bitch? I mean,
dude, I almost asked this exact question when we talked about it on the rundown, and I said to myself, I'm going to hold this off for KFC Radio because it's more of a question for this show. This was the first thing that popped into my mind. Your first boner after 13 months is a precious, precious boner. That is not one to mess with because you don't know if it's coming back. This could just be like a one-time relapse for your dick. you need to make sure you maximize this. So, on the one hand, it's like, what do you want to do with your dick the most? You want to put it in a girl and have sex with her. But you also want to make that boner last as long as it can. To me, it's like a quantity versus quality thing. I could see a scenario where you want to just like when you're in a hotel alone fights, you want to just like have sexy time with yourself. And it can last as long as you want. You could do some tantric shit like Sting where you like bring it right to the brink and bring it back down. You can make it last all night long. Or do you just want to like find the nearest chick, the most guaranteed thing, and get your rocks off having sex, getting blown. Quality versus quantity. What are you doing with your first boner of 13 months, John?
Yo, I fucking choose jerking off over fucking a girl like when I have my seventh boner of the day. Like, the fact that you think I'd even consider fucking a girl with my first boner, that's a gift to me. That you don't get to enjoy that. That's I'm making this shit all about me. But like, I'll probably fucking bring out booty fingers in my first, like, just fucking, like, I'll fucking sit on my own thumb while I jerk off for that one.
Wow. I love it. Wouldn't you agree, though, that the ultimate use of your dick is to put it in a girl?
Yeah.
So wouldn't you want to, like, go the ultimate with your precious boner?
No. Fuck no.
What if she was
one of those jerk off? Like I would absolutely rent myself a hotel room. I'd go like in sweatpants with a boner fucking raging. I'd be like, I need a room stat. I need your dirtiest room because it's about to get nasty. And I would do like the tantric thing, like where I'd jerk off and I wouldn't come and then I'd kind of watch a little TV while like just keep it hard for a bit. I mean, I'd have that boner would like. Like, Viagra is you need to go to the doctor for 4 hours. Like, I should be in a fucking emergency room by the time I come with that. Because that shit's going to be there for, like, a good 8 hours.
And your first boner after 13 months is like the video game Excitebike. I don't know if you guys ever played that where you can overheat and then you fall down. You got to keep it just at, like, 3/4 and then you can go the whole track. Excitebike boner is what you do after a year plus with no hard dick. But... Spags, do you see where I'm coming from? Where you would just want to like put it in a chick? Because you never know, you might not.
I mean, if it's like right there, if it's like right in front of you, like if you're next to like your wife or your girlfriend or whatever, and she's like, "Cool, that's perfect, I'm right here," then yeah. But if there's like any delay at all, that shit's getting jerked off, and that shit's getting jerked off the second it's in front of me because it could go away again. Like right. You could lose that boner, and then you're totally fucked.
The saddest thing in the world would be if you're Feidelberg alone in this hotel room and you're doing your tantric yoga and you lose it. Like, you came to the brink, and you let it go, and then you basically blue-balled yourself for life. Like, who knows, maybe another 13 months of no boner because you got cocky with your 13-month boner. That would be...
Just the dick wilting like the Beauty and the Beast rose, slowly exactly. Going down.
Just slowly falling back. That's like an episode of The Twilight Zone, man. It's like, you can't even wrap your head around that sort of disappointment and misery. I'm not only... I probably would just crack off and do it as fast as I can. Boom, done. Just make sure I at least got the chance to do that one more time. Fights, you can risk it. Spags, you can try to put it in a chick. I am just throwing squids on the floor right away, being like, thank God I at least got to do that again.
Here's a question. Jay Williams then started, perhaps is still fucking Carissa Thompson, a smokestack. Would you go 13-month bonerless if you got to start dating a smoke show afterwards?
No.
No.
Dating a really hot chick is... That fades, man. 13 months of no boner where you're just... I would assume that you still have, like... You still feel backed up, even though you can't. So, I mean, the thought of not being able to release for over a year... I mean, that would like, ruin my life. I wouldn't be able to, like, have friends or focus on work or anything.
I think I would be – remember in Armageddon when they go to the Russian Argonaut and he's like – they're like, oh, he's been living by himself up here for 13 months or something like that. Like he's probably lost it a little bit.
Yeah.
That's what I would be. I would be like a spaced out astronaut who like just hasn't come and is like running around yelling about fuses and shit. Like I would have no peace of mind. For like after the first
like week,
I was gonna say six hours, but sure, a week. After the first, I go through a meeting somewhere in the middle and say a day, but like the first day, I'd be like out of my fucking mind. I wouldn't be able to do work. I'd be like watching porn.
Good.
No, you go ahead.
I was gonna say it's bad enough when you aren't jerking off, but you know you can. You know, like, all right, so you're like traveling or you're in a situation, you're in one room with someone and you can't do it for a little while, but you know, like, all right, tomorrow or I'm gonna take a shower or whatever it may be, I will eventually get to. When you know you can't, I mean, after you miss one session, you're probably gonna be going fucking crazy.
I think, like, as a guy, too, that's gonna be like psychologically damaging because, like, that's like losing your virility and you're out. And you can't do anything about it. You're still functioning here. Like, it's not even like you're an old guy whose dick doesn't work and you're not, like, you're not all there and you're not thinking about sex or whatever because your hip hurts. Like, you're just a regular dude who just can't get it up.
Focused on it, yeah.
Yeah, that's like depression territory.
Yeah, I don't think any guy out there would trade that. I mean, having a hot chick is, like, nice for a little bit, but eventually you're just like, ah, whatever. You're still just, like, my annoying girlfriend.
But say it's like
it's gonna be fun to watch TV with.
It's like,
yeah. our delay today is just killing us. But anyway, you see me if you're watching premium, you see me rocking my fresh movement watch, the white face with the sand leather band. It's something like, to be honest, I feel like I should live in Miami when I'm rocking this. It's just, like, fresh. I feel like I should have, like, white leather shoes to match it. That's the kind of heat. That's the kind of heat that Movement Watches puts out. You can get the gunmetal gray one. You can get the fresh black on black. They got the dark brown with the rose gold. They got the black face with the coral type of color blue. They just put out nice watches. They've been getting a lot of press from all the fashionable outlets. You got GQ, Ask Men, Hypebeast, they're all talking about it. They are the consensus hottest watch company on the market. And the quality crafted watches start at just $95. So you're not going to break the bank, but no one's really going to know the difference. You could walk around, I could tell people that my movement watch costs like $500 and people would believe me. But you don't have to pay that price to get dope shit. So just go to Movement Watches. They do it mvmtwatches.com/KFC. And you get hooked up with 15% off your entire order. So grab yourself a couple. Get three or four. All sorts of different styles for different occasions. And get 15% off the whole thing. That's mvmtwatches.com/KFC. What else do we got here? Talk about a little TV.
KFC, it's Clemmy. Got a question. If you were kidnapped, what television show's characters want to save you? Now, you can pick like a CSI or one of those crime shows, or you can pick like Always Sunny with the Gang, or even like Breaking Bad with Walt and the Magnets. All right, man, let me know.
If you were kidnapped, what television character or characters do you want to save you? I'm going to go on record and say that the Gang from Always Sunny is the worst answer of all time. That's the last four, five, six, however many characters you want to include, people that I would ever, ever choose to come rescue me and save my life.
I didn't hear the question, and then I just heard that, and I was like, oh, it must be like what crew you want to hang out with.
No.
Because they're not who you want to fucking save you.
They're definitely who you want to hang out with. That crew, I want to live the Patty's Pub life. Like, it ain't glamorous, and it's like down and dirty, but if I could be like a real life Always Sunny crew, I would. If you're kidnapped, there's one answer and one answer only. You're calling Jack Bauer. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's just the dude, like, he'll save three or four people in a season who are kidnapped on the way to like stopping a nuclear bomb and a bio attack and fucking kill the cougar that's hunting his daughter and everything in between. I mean, there is no other choice. You could pick, you know, Walter White is a good answer. I mean, that guy was resourceful as fuck. He'll use his magnets. He'll use science. He's cutthroat. He'll do whatever he can. You know, he saved Jesse from the Nazis. He's a good choice. He's not Jack Bauer. What's his face? Quinn from Homeland. great choice. It's not Jack Bauer. There's just nobody that can live up to Mr. 24, but I'll open it up to you guys. Any other options?
I've actually only seen season one of 24.
Well, season one is monster. Probably the best, but, dude, there's like seven more. I'm jealous because you should go back and watch all of them. They're great.
They're still good, too.
They're going to do a reboot, but with just the chick from last season. It was Die Another Day.
Yeah, no. The kid from Straight Outta Compton.
Oh, I thought it was the girl.
No, it's Dr. Dre from Straight Outta Compton.
Oh, what's that about? I don't like that.
Wanted a black guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
He's like he's a war veteran suffering from PTSD, I think, who's now the main guy.
I must have saw just a tweet or somebody, like a list of people they hope it was, but I thought it was going to be that hot blonde chick. She's sexy as fuck.
No, Yvonne Strahovski? Yeah, she's great. She's really great. Met her in person once. Fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I loved her. I watched that show Chuck just because I loved her so much.
Yeah, she is.
That was a good show.
She was, I mean, in Dexter, she was naked all the time and banging him and stuff. That was a great season. I don't know how I feel about the dude from Straight Outta Compton. I tried to watch Straight Outta Compton the other day. You'd think that would be right up my alley. I didn't really get into it. I also was, like, taking care of the kid at the same time, and I couldn't really focus on it and shit. But I didn't love it as much as most people did.
I totally disagree. I loved it. I almost watched it again last night. I was at my friend's house, and she hadn't seen it.
I gotta give it a second chance, but it didn't quite grab me the same way. NWA is a little bit like too early too. Like I didn't really listen to their shit growing up. If it was like
me neither,
I know. But I think
it's
that played,
all I've listened to since.
Yeah, I know. I hear you, but I think that played into my interest level. Like if it was like Death Row Records completely, I would probably be into it more. If it was like Bad Boy Records. I would probably be into it more. Not to say I'm not saying it was bad or anything. I'm just saying I thought I was going to be like all about it, and it didn't really grasp me the way I thought it was going to.
I mean, Dre's it's Death Row pretty much the second half.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say I didn't even end up finishing it, but the last bit I saw was Suge pulling up in like his fucking Cadillac, and I was like, all right, I would probably be interested in this part. But yeah, maybe I'll give it a second shot. I don't know. If you are going to be betting on the Super Bowl, if you're going to be betting on any of the winter sports, you want to bet on pretty much anything at all, go to betdsi.com. It's one of the most reliable and professional sports books out there. They've been rated A+ on many review sites. They've been around for over 16 years. And a lot of the times, a lot of the lines that you're already betting on are made by BetDSI. They're some of the most trustworthy professional betting sites out there, and if you use Barstool10 right now at checkout, that's Barstool, no space, 10, you'll get $10 free for your next bet. So, you know, I know a lot of people out there are, you know, Portnoy's out there throwing around 10 stacks on every single game, and I know Rico Bosco's out there as some sort of gambling expert, but if you want to just make a little bit of cash, try your hand at throwing around some money on the next game, and you want 10 free bucks to do so, go to betdsi.com. Once again, the promo code for that is Barstool10. We will do, we got about 10 minutes to go, so we'll do a few more voicemails. Let's see, what do we got? Snapchat. I'm on Snapchat now. Let's talk about Snapchat.
Yo, KFC, your boy John from CT. Sorry, you just got Snapchat. So one of my buddies sent me a reverse poop. So basically the poop comes from the toilet back into the spot. One of the most ridiculous things I've ever gotten. Just wondering if you guys have got anything just as ridiculous or one of your favorite snaps of all time. Thanks.
All right. Let's talk about Snapchat. John, you are on Snapchat, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Do you use it? Like, do you snap?
No.
No. Chris, are you on
Snapchat? No, I actually... This fucking sucks. I just like started noticing that you get scored and people have scores, and I'm like furious that like my friends who no one like has followed, like no one follows them or anything, have like 10 times my score. So I might start snapping soon, but it is like, it's a really important like factor. I've said this before. I have a really ugly selfie face. And yeah. it's huge. That's like big. And also, I have, believe it or not, for a guy who talks about porn and his legs locking up when he comes, I have a significant amount of shame. And Brendan Clancy, for instance, has none. He snaps himself walking around New York City. Like, he's, like, going through Times Square holding his phone, like, up here having full-on conversations with the fucking thing. Yep. I could never do that. I'd feel like such a loser. Brendan, you lose. But I just don't think my life is very interesting. Like,
yeah.
I'm sitting on my computer most of the time.
I run through that too, where it's like, I mean, I've been doing it recently because, A, I think Twitter is getting lame. Well, I thought Twitter was getting lame, and then it just skyrocketed again the other day with the Kanye thing. But I also, it's just like, it is going to be the next thing, and I do want to try to kind of stay young and up with the times. But I'm doing it now. I snap the same fucking things. It's my dog, it's my kid, it's my sneakers, and it's like what I'm eating over and over again. Because that's all I do with my life. If I was doing interesting shit, if I was jet-setting away or going to the club or hitting up like fancy places, I would snap that shit all the time. But I'm not that interesting. The fact that I feel like I can put together some clever tweets. I'm pretty good with words. If I have to show you, if you have to be interested by what's in front of me at all times, my life is pretty fucking boring. I'm a boring dude.
I like Snapchat a lot, but like the same thing, I'll actually do shit and I don't remember to Snapchat it because I'm doing a thing. But like I Snapchat my dog because I'm not doing anything. I'm like, oh, I like my dog. I mean, it's a snap of my dog. That's basically it. Like, but I don't think I think people who are younger. I mean, I don't know about where Fights is because I think he's the cutoff. But like younger than us, like none of my guy friends are on Snapchat at all. But like all the girls I talk to are on Snapchat, and they just like will snap whatever because that's just how they're talking. Whereas like I don't want to waste people's time with like dumb shit on there.
It's definitely a girly thing. It's definitely a younger person thing. But I think the point is that eventually it's not going to be. I think it is going to go mainstream, but there is always going to be that barrier where it's just like, I don't know, man. I'm just like watching the game. I'm just drinking a beer. I don't think that's interesting enough to put a picture. We've all seen that before, but maybe I don't know. Maybe people just stop thinking that way, but it's going to take a lot for me.
I'm like a really old school person when it comes to, well, two things. I am a really old school person when it comes to like pictures. Like remember when everyone loved that, who was a triple crown horse this year?
American Pharoah.
Remember when everyone thought that picture of him on the sport cover Sports Illustrated was so cool? I thought it was the dumbest fucking thing. The entire crowd was just phones holding it up. And I'm like, I'm very much like, just fucking watch it with your eyes. Like, you're here. Don't watch through a computer screen. Like, just watch it. Like, watch history happen.
The flip side is the picture that went viral, I believe, with the Pope. And there was one shot of like 50 people. And 49 of them were young. And they all had their phones out. And then one of them was this old woman. And she was just leaning up on the railing, looking at the Pope. And everyone was sucking that old lady's dick. And I was like, well, fuck that person too, because I can look at the Pope, I can look at the concert, whatever's going on, and still have my phone out. I know what you're saying; it's like annoying when everybody films it, but I also don't want to like. I'm not going to be one of these people who's like, oh, I don't film or take pictures because I'm just living in the moment. Fuck that.
But I'm also remember when I like didn't buy a lottery ticket because it was my way to like thumb my nose at people and be like, you're poor.
You're an ass.
Like, that's how I am with like taking pictures too. Like, oh, you're taking pictures of the hockey game? Like, I have season tickets. I'm here every fucking day. This isn't anything special to me. Like, that's kind of like how I am with that too. I really am with like Snap and Instagram and all that. I really am like and act like you've been here before. Like, this isn't anything special. This is a day of my life, bitch. This is how I feel. I don't need to fucking snap this and make a memory. If I did that every time I came, my friends would be like, you have the most boring fucking Snapchat because you're always at the fucking hockey game. That's my one other thing with I'm like, I honestly feel like poor taking like pictures of things when I'm at a cool thing. So I'm like, this is just how I do. No, this is me doing me, baby.
I definitely, when I sat courtside at the Knicks game like a month ago, I took a couple pictures, but I was like, I'm going to play it cool. I've been here before. What's up, Ice Cube? Hey, what's up, Gary Vaynerchuk? Like, yeah, no, I'm just, you know, right. Courtside. On the inside, I was like, oh, shit. But I don't want to, like, show that, you know?
Dude, even when I was at the Winter Classic, like, a
thing literally no one else there has been to. I didn't take a picture until, like, the, like, last minute, and I took a quick, like, a really, like, sneak, almost like I was trying to take a picture of some psycho on the subway. It was just, like, a real quick picture, just because I didn't want people to think, like, I would very much act like you've been there. And even if you're at something that it's impossible to have been to before.
Right. And it's like, we know that you're, like, a normal-ass dude. We know you're excited. Nah, man, I'm cool. I've been here before, you know, no big deal. What you said about the score is true, though. Like, it goes both ways. Part of me is, like, when I'm on Twitter, I know how many retweets I'm getting. I know how many followers I'm getting. And my vain, fucking, like, weird loser competitive self can quantify whether I'm doing well at it or not. The fact that there's a score now. But the flip side is I kind of liked just, like, sending a picture out and not even worrying if people thought it was, like, funny or cool, because I couldn't even tell. So I was just like, in my mind, that was a good snap. That was a good picture. That's cool. And there's no way to tell me that it fucking stinks. I don't know. I kind of like that there was no score, but where can I find said score? Let me look.
There's always, I mean, it's on, if you go to the users thing, it's like, if you'd like the ghost on top. Yeah. If you click that thing, you can see it.
If you just hold your finger on it. If you just hold your finger on it, it pops up.
What's a good score?
Mine is 8,570.
What's your score, John?
Like 6,000.
I'm not telling you my score. Wait, there
I've been on this early, though, and I use it in real life. I think that's part of it, too. The score doesn't matter about influence. It's just, like, you use it a lot. Like, my score, I have to say,
my score is 674.
But you're new, though, and you're only posting stories. Like, it's when you're replying to people and you're sending, like, a bunch.
I'm never replying to people. So, I mean, and that's not true. I've replied to a few stoolies, but I'm not going to, like, sit there and go, like, my score is going to be 600 for life then.
As a guy, I mean, like, as a PSA to all the guys out there who are, like, our age, who are, like, late 20s, early 30s, whatever, who, like, are hesitant, if you're single, you have to be on Snapchat. Like, you have to, and, like, you just have to be in the mix, and it does make things easier, but that's why my score is high, because it's grinding on Snapchat. Yeah, it's working hard in the field.
I think you're not utilizing it to its full extent when you're single. I think that's a fucking goldmine for chicks.
Kevin.
I don't care, right?
Kevin, I do care. Me utilizing Snapchat and sending pictures of myself isn't helping me. That's like,
I didn't say you had to send pictures. You get the pictures back. You fucking, you know. You don't have to send pictures of your fucking bad selfie face, but you can send pictures.
What you're saying is, like, literally take one step forward to take two steps back. That's what you're saying.
Also, like, there are some angles where nobody looks bad. Like, the fat girl MySpace angles are always the ones you go to. You go up here, you're always going to look good. Just fucking pretend like you're laying on your couch and go like that.
Trash bags. If you think you're fucking fooling anybody with that, you're an idiot. Like, that's so fucking transparent. If someone sends you a picture taken from a goddamn mile away at, like, the perfect angle of their face, like, that person's a fucking ugly person. I'd rather send an ugly picture and be like, listen, this is just me. I'm not trying to fucking put lipstick on a pig. I look like this. I'm so vain that I'm trying not to act so vain. That's how deep my vanity goes. It's like double vanity. Where I'm like, I know I look vain if I try this, but I'm so vain I don't want to look vain. That's how fucking bad it is for me.
Fights is just the most honest snapper out there. He's just like, listen, I'm like a fucking 6.5, maybe, and if that's good for you, that's good for me, but I'm not even going to try.
Just what you should do is, like, do the one some girls do where it's like your eye and, like, you're out of frame and you're, like, taking a picture of something else. Like, you can game it. I just think you got to be in the mix.
That is trying way too hard, my brother. That is trying way too hard.
I'm trying to consult and help you find love on Snapchat, and you're telling me I'm going too far. Sorry I care, John.
If that's what I gotta do to fucking get snap girls, I'll fucking die a virgin with my goddamn pride with me still. I'm not fucking taking perfectly framed shots of my eye with some, like, the Eiffel Tower in the background. Spags is jet-setting around rented mansions so he can have sweet little fucking angled shots and be like, oh yeah, the chicks love this. Get out of my fucking face, Spags.
I don't think we can go any higher than that on this episode. Ordinarily, I ask Feidelberg any last words. I think he just had his last words. Hey, listen, after you're done listening to this episode, go over to the Podcast One app, They got over 200 shows on there, including Mail Time, KFC Radio, Daily Mail. They got Stone Cold Steve Austin. They got Adam Carolla. They got a whole bunch of great shows. They're all worth listening to. So go to the App Store or Google Play or go to podcast1.com. Either way, make sure you give the app a try and give it the good reviews it deserves. Since you're our guest, I will give you the opportunity. Spags, any last words?
You know, nothing. I'm glad the delay didn't work. Like, that was fine when Fights was going on their rant, so that was good. That timed out well.
Skype Charlotte finally, like, came through for the most important part of the episode. We apologize for the rest of the delays, but it made up for it in the end there.
That's it.
154 in the books. We'll see you next week for episode 155. I'm out.
Is this Barstool?
BarstoolSports.com. Is that right? BarstoolSports.com.
It's your boy KFC.
Become kind of a craze.
Your boy Big Cat.
Kind of a craze.
And your boy Feidelberg.
So go to BarstoolSports.com. If you do, God bless you.
You listen to KFC Radio.